Okay. Good morning, everybody. Our week's parsha is Ki Tisa, which is on page 492, 493. I'm sorry, that's not the beginning of the parsha, but what I want to discuss in the parsha. Okay, so the parsha of Ki Tisa includes in it the story of Chet Ha'egel, the golden calf. And I want to discuss this story today, even though we discussed it in the past. And there are many, many explanations to this scene. The golden calf raises a big question, and we can't almost relate to the fact that a short while after the Jewish people received the Torah, just 40 days, they committed the sin of the golden calf. And it is a very big question. And all commentaries give their interpretation to the story. And with all the interpretations, we remain without understanding it. The whole story is beyond our understanding. It's hard to see people of this level committing this sin so shortly after receiving the Torah. Still, the Torah wrote it, even though we are not able to understand it fully. Like many other stories in the Torah that are written, and we don't comprehend them fully. The Ramban, in fact, in Bereshit, in the beginning of Bereshit, tells us that the whole stories of first man and his sin, the flood, the Tower of Babylon, all the stories in Bereshit are really beyond our comprehension. Still, the Torah wrote it. Obviously, we can learn from it many lessons. So we have to keep in mind that to really know what took place, we can't, because these people were way, way beyond anything that we can comprehend in terms of their level. We'll soon elaborate a little more on it. But we learn it, we study it, because there are many messages here. And that's why, even though we discussed it in the past, there is a point in discussing it according to other commentaries, because each one indicates something that we can learn from the story. Today, I want to concentrate on two commentators, two people who wrote about it. One is the Beit HaLevi, the Rav of Brisk, in his book Beit HaLevi, and the other one is the Shem Yishmuel, the Sochet Shover Rebbe, who lived between the two Weltwars. So they are relatively recent commentators, and they enlighten us with very profound messages that we can learn from this story. So before we start the story itself, I want to read the last verse in the previous chapter. The story starts at chapter 32 on page 493. But I want to start with the previous pasuk that is connected. Okay? Then he, referring to Moshe, finished this, just a second. Now, when he refers to Hashem, when Hashem finished speaking to him, to Moshe, on Mount Sinai, he gave Moses the two tablets of testimony, stone tables inscribed by the finger of God. So we are about in a point of the story where Hashem is about to give the tablets to the Jewish people. So let's put things in order. The receiving of the Torah was on the sixth or seventh day of Sivan. The day after, Moshe went up to the top of the mountain for 40 days to get the knowledge of the Torah in its fullest. On Har Sinai, they received the Ten Commandments, right? They heard from Hashem the Ten Commandments. But then the day after, Moshe went up to Shamayim to learn the whole Torah. And at the end, on the 40th day, Hashem gave him the two tablets that Hashem made. Hashem made the tablets, and on them, the Ten Commandments were inscribed. And Moshe is about to come down and give it to the Jewish people. And then at that point, after 40 days, when he is holding the tablets, the story of the golden calf is taking place. Why? There is a connection. When Moshe went up to Shamayim, he told them, I'll come back in 40 days. The Jewish people made a mistake in when to start to count the 40 days. The question was, should they count the first night or not? When is the first day starting, from the night or from the day? So they thought 40 days are over, but they were not over yet. In a couple of hours, it will be over. But being that Moshe was not yet there, they panicked. They panicked. And let's see the psukim inside. Okay? Posuk Aleph in chapter, first verse in chapter 32. The people saw that Moses had delayed in descending the mountain, and the people gathered around Aaron and said to him, rise up, make for us gods that will go before us, for this man Moses, who brought us up from the land of Egypt, we do not know what became of him. Why did they panic? Why are they rushing to do something? Moshe didn't come yet. Wait a little bit. See what will happen, right? Right away, you gather, run to Aaron, and tell him he has to do something about it. What's so urgent? What happened? So we have to understand first that the words of Moshe are like the words of Hashem. Moshe said, I'll be back after 40 days. If he didn't come after 40 days, it cannot be that he's changed his mind, because his words are the words of Hashem. It cannot happen that something happened on the way that prevented him from coming, because his words are the words of Hashem. So obviously to them, Moshe is not coming back. Because if he would have been alive, he would have done whatever he promised he will do. To it, we have to add the fact that Hashem enabled the Satan, the Satan, to show the Jewish people an image up above of a bed and Moshe laying on it dead. But obviously, that is the question, why would Hashem allow him to do something like this? Why would the Satan get permission to do something like this? One of the questions. Another question to the story that we'll address. But obviously, when this happens, we can look at it already a little differently. But we have to understand more than this. We have to understand who Moshe is to the Jewish people and why, if he disappears, they are panicked. So what's the role of Moshe? For us, the Jewish people of all generations, and definitely and even more so at the time that he was alive in this very generation. So Moshe Rabbeinu is the one, is our teacher, as we call him till today, Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe our teacher. He's the one who brings the word of Hashem down to this world. He brings the presence of Hashem down to this world, because it's the word of Hashem that is really telling us and guiding us in how to create a presence of the divine here on earth. More than this, it's not only that he gave us information. He is the go-between us and Hashem. He's on a level in prophecy that no other Jew ever achieved or will ever achieve. Basically, when Hashem tells Moshe something, it's Hashem speaking via Moshe's mouth. It's not like by other prophets. Other prophets hear the word of Hashem, and after they hear it, they transmit it to the Jewish people. By Moshe Rabbeinu, when he speaks to the Jewish people the words of Hashem, it's Hashem speaking via his mouth. It's like the conduit, the tviyah, Hashem speaks to the Jewish people. And they hear godly words. That's how it was on Sinai. And this was also the time that Moshe Rabbeinu was here. We see an example for it. I'll tell you where to open. In Chumash Bamidbar, okay, in chapter 9, when it comes to the story of Pesach Sheni, the Jewish people celebrated the first Pesach in the desert. There were a few people who could not celebrate Pesach, bring the offering of Pesach, celebrate Pesach, yes, but to bring the offering of Pesach, they could not. because they were impure, because they carried the Ark of Yosef. And one cannot come to the tabernacle, to the Mishkan, and bring an offering when they are impure. So they came to Moshe and said, we want to be part of it too. Right? Why should we not be part of it? Why should we miss out? After all, we are occupied with something that is a mitzvah, that is positive. So in page 779, it's in Chumash Bamidbar, in the story of Pesach Sheni, how does Moshe respond to them? Let's look at verse number 8. 779, verse number 8. Okay? So the Torah tells us that Moses said to them, stand, and I will hear what Hashem will command you. Okay, you have a question. What will be with you? So what does Moshe say? Stand, wait. Stand by. I'll ask Hashem. And Rashi says, happy is the person that whenever he wants to speak to Hashem, he just say, wait, and I'm going to hear what Hashem will tell me, and Hashem comes to tell him. Okay, so as long as Moshe was with the Jewish people, they were connected directly to Hashem. Any question, any doubt, anything they needed to understand, they approached Moshe. Moshe got a message from Hashem, said it to them right away. Everything was clear, was unbelievable. He was the conduit for creating the presence of Hashem in the Jewish camp. So we can understand how shocked they are to see that Moshe is not coming down, but not coming back. They are anticipating eagerly the coming down of Moshe and the learning that he will give them, that he will teach them, right? All that he learned on the mountain. And instead, what they see is Moshe dead on a bed up there. So it was not just that they missed Moshe, the person. They felt this will disconnect them from Hashem. The presence of the divine will not be in the midst of them the same way that it was before. So they really panicked. And they came up with an idea. They want the presence of the divine in the midst of them. There is a possibility to do it. When Hashem created the world, the reason for creation was in order that Hashem will dwell here in this physical reality. This is what we are told is the purpose of creation. So obviously there is a way to do it. How do you do it? In order to know how to do it, one has to understand all the secrets of creation. Creation has two levels to it, the physical level or many levels to it. The physical level that we are familiar with, that is our everyday reality, but there are also spiritual realities. More than one, many spiritual realities.
Mrs. Cohn, you unmuted yourself. You muted yourself.
I'm sorry. Let me see what happened. Do you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Sorry. The Chumash expressed something, so sorry. So there are endless spiritual realities, and these spiritual realities over there are the powers that bestow godliness into this world, of course, by the instructions of Hashem, right? And there is a possibility, and that's the purpose really, to connect the higher realities, the spiritual realities, to this world, to bring the presence of the divine into this world. If a person would know exactly how these spiritual realities operate, how did Hashem create the world? What operates it, right? What is the spiritual mechanism, so to speak, that operates this world? And if a person will have the ability to control it, most probably will be able to bring a godly presence into this world. In other words, if a person will know all the secrets of creation and will have the knowledge how to operate spiritual realities, he, that's what logic says, will be able to bring a present divine into this world. And in fact, it was not a wrong idea. Later on, after the story of the golden calf, even though it's written in the Torah before, but after the story of the golden calf, Hashem told the Jewish people, after he forgave them, to build a Mishkan. What is a Mishkan? A Mishkan is a place of the presence of the divine. That's exactly what a Mishkan is. It brings godliness into this world. And Hashem told them to do it. And he told them how to build it exactly. And the Torah describes it in great, great detail. Every detail counts because every detail affects the higher realities and enables it to happen. So Hashem tells the Jewish nation how to build the Mishkan, how to create this reality of bringing godliness into this world. Now, our sages tell us that Bezalel, who built the Mishkan, knew the combination of letters that with them Hashem created the world. Meaning, in other words, as we said before, Hashem created the world in order to enable a divine presence in this physical world. How does it happen? The spiritual realms of reality are operated in the right, correct way, and then it affects what happens here on earth. And Bezalel knew exactly in every detail that he did while building the Mishkan, what's the significance of this detail? If it's a measurement, if it's a material that something is built with, if it's a location where something is put, if it's the shape of things that Hashem said to do, the combination of materials that is made of. He understood why Hashem said to build the tabernacle exactly like this, because it corresponded to a mechanism that could be operated, a spiritual mechanism that could be operated while doing it. So he knew all the secrets of heaven and earth and how they were created. So the Jewish people, when Moshe disappeared, and they felt this will disconnect them now from Hashem. This will hinder the reality of the presence of Hashem in the midst of them. They're panicked because to them, the connection to Hashem was the essence of life, was more important than life itself, or life was important for them because it enabled to have a connection to Hashem. So they looked for a way to do it, and they were very great scholars. And they knew secrets of creation. So they said, let us do something that will make it happen, even if Moshe is not here. What was the first thing they did? Let's go back to the psukim. Okay, so we are again on page 493. The people saw that Moses had delayed in descending the mountain, and the people gathered around Aharon. Now let me ask you, if the people really want another God, Moshe is not here, they want another God, would they go to Aharon? The second righteous man after, or the equally righteous man to Moshe is Aharon. If this is something wrong, they would have not gone to Aharon. Right? They would go ahead and do it. In fact, we are told that the people who pushed for it were the Erev Rav, the people who joined the Egyptians and other nationalities who joined the Jewish people when they came out of Mitzrayim, meaning the weaker link of the Jewish nation, who did not have in their genes the investments of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov. They are newcomers. They did not suffer together with the Jewish people. And the suffering did not elevate them, right? They made the choice to join the Jewish people. Very nice, but they didn't tell the history of the Jewish people, right? So they were not as strong. They pushed for it. So if it's something that comes from a weaker point, right, and what is going to happen is wrong, as we know from the fact that later on Hashem wanted to annihilate the Jewish people, why do they go to Aaron? So obviously, it's not a simple story, the way we read it on a superficial level. They did not want another God. What they wanted is to create a way to bring the presence of the divine into this world, even though Moshe, who did it before for them, helped them achieve it before, is not here. And that's why they go to Aaron, because he's a very great scholar. And most probably, he's the best person to do something like this. He knows more than all of them, right? So let's go further. They say, we don't know what happened to Moshe, right? And we are scared. We need something to make sure that whatever we had at the time of Moshe will continue to be, okay? So Aaron wanted to delay them. So he told them, go bring gold, right? And he thought it will take a long time, but they were so anxious that they brought it very, very quickly. And Aaron took it from them and he threw it into the fire, and a calf came. The golden calf was created. And the Jewish people said, I'm reading verse number 5 on page 495. Aaron saw and built an altar. No, I'm sorry. The previous pasuk 4, he took it from their hands and bound it up in a cloth and fashioned it into a molten calf. They said, this is your God, O Israel, which brought you up from the land of Egypt. Of course, that did not mean the gold that took them out, but obviously there was a spiritual power to this golden calf, right? And this is what they refer to when they say, this is your God. When we hear this explanation, it seemed to us that what the Jewish people did is perfect, right? Spirituality meant to them everything. It was their life. They depended on Moshe for the connection with Hashem and for bringing the divine into this world. Moshe is not here. Moshe cannot be wrong. If he said 40 days, it must be that he would be here if he could have. So it means he's not going to. And they see him dead on a bed. And they are so desperate that they are going to find a way to bring the presence of the divine into the midst of them. Great. Why is it wrong? I want to prove to you that this is true, that they meant well. I want you to go to page 505. This is already much later in the story, but Moshe is speaking to Hashem, okay? And Moshe tells Hashem in verse number 13, and now, if I have indeed found favor in your eyes, says Moshe to Hashem, make your way known to me, meaning teach me, how do you live this world? How is this world operated? What are your attributes? What Hashem tells him after the 13 attributes of mercy, so that I may comprehend you have found favor in my eyes. But then he adds, but see that this nation is your people, meaning it's the nation you chose. It's a good nation. It's your nation. It's a godly nation. When Moshe was about to come down from the mountain with the tablets, Hashem tells him what's happening. Moshe was on the mountain. He did not know about the golden calf, right? So Hashem tells him in verse number 7, page 495. Page 495. Hashem tells Moshe, Hashem spoke to Moses, go descend. He's still on the mountain. For your people that you brought up from Egypt, has become corrupt, referring to the fact that it was the Erev Rav, the people who joined the Jewish nation, who caused the problem. But how does Hashem call them? Amecha, your people. So Moshe tells Hashem later on, it's not my people, it's your people. Meaning, in other words, they are good. Their intentions were pure. They really care about your presence. And that's why they did it. But looking at the consequences of the golden calf, we understand that it's not simple, because there were two times in history so far where the world was very close to perfection, very close to perfection. One, right after first man was created, in the first 3 hours of his life, before the sin of the eating from the tree of knowledge, and the Jewish people in these 40 days between the giving of the Torah and the sin of the golden calf. The world was very, very close to perfection. What was needed was just one good choice to perfect it fully, and then the times of Mashiach would start. The first man would have not eaten from the tree of knowledge just for 3 more hours. Shabbat would enter. He was created on the sixth day, right? Friday. Shabbat would enter, and this will be already the times of Mashiach. And the same, if the Jewish people would have not performed the sin of the golden calf, and Moshe would come down from the mountain and give them the tablets, it would have been Mashiach. Perfection of creation, the purpose fulfilled, and the times of Mashiach would have started. In both situations, first men before the sin, and the Jewish people in these 40 days before their sin, they were immortal. They were greater than angels. They were almost perfect. Via the sin, not only were they experience consequences, but the consequences they experienced are with us still today. They were immortal, we are dying. All the people, since first man till the giving of the Torah, died. They were not supposed to if he would have not eaten from the tree of knowledge. All of them had to work hard in order to make a living. If he would have not committed the sin, everything would have been provided for them without any effort. All women who give birth go through labor. Raising children is not a simple story. If first man would have not committed the sin, it would have been very easy. Like Cain and Abel, they were born on the first day of creation and were in a stage of maturity right after they were born, right? So it affected all of mankind. The same way with the golden calf. As a result of the sin of the golden calf, history changed completely. Not only Mashiach did not come, but all the suffering that is in this world since till Mashiach will come is a consequence of this sin. So we are really bewildered. If they meant well, right, why are the consequences so, so painful, right? It's a story of 3,300 years of suffering and difficulties and challenges and mortality, right? As a result of it. So what I'll explain, will explain, according to the Beit HaLevi, the Rov of Brisk, will explain what was wrong on their level. If it would have been us, this would have not been the consequences, and we would have not been put in front of a test of this sort, because it's way above our ability to overcome. But there is a lesson here. So we'll explain it with the knowledge that we don't comprehend it fully. We said the Mishkan was the same idea. And the Mishkan was a commandment that Hashem commanded us to do. And It's considered the highest closeness of Hashem when we have the Mishkan or the Beit HaMikdash. So what was wrong here? In both cases, by first men and in the golden calf, the intention was right. It was caring for closeness to Hashem. But it brought them to do something that Hashem did not command to do. First men thought that it's the will of Hashem to eat from the tree of knowledge, but Hashem said no. Here Hashem didn't say no, didn't say yes, but Hashem did not command them to do it. And being that Hashem did not command them to do it, it was wrong. And I'll explain. In fact, all of us can every day bring the divine presence, the divine presence into this world. Each time that we have a positive thought, that we say something that is right, that we perform a mitzvah, or stop ourselves from doing something that is wrong, we bring godliness into this world. But what's the reason for it? The reason for it is because Hashem created a connection between our thoughts, speech, and actions, and the divinity that will be present in this world. There are many ways that the divinity, that the divine, is revealed in this world. We can see the kindness of Hashem in this world. That's one way that Hashem is present in this world. We see his kindness. We can see his strength. We can see his compassion. There are many ways that he expresses itself, that is that the divine presence appears in this world. And it happens because of what we do. When we do the right thing, the presence of the divine in this world strengthens. And if God forbid we don't, it's like removed from this world, distances itself. But it works only because of one reason. Because Hashem told us to do this particular thing. What tells us, when you will do it, this will happen. I'll give a very simple analogy that will make it clear. Let's say I build a very, very sophisticated computer that can really do things that are unbelievable, the latest in technology. I build something very, very beautiful. But there is one simple thing that I need to do, that if I don't, doesn't matter what I did, it's meaningless. It's a waste of time and effort. And this is to plug it in. It has to be connected to the source of power. Otherwise, doesn't matter what I did. It's useless. The same with the actions of the human being. If Hashem told us to do something, it means he connected this action that's like putting the flag in. And while doing it, I'll bring godliness into this world. I'll operate the upper levels, the upper realities, and they will affect this world and bring divinity into it. But if Hashem did not command it, it's as if I didn't plug in right the plug. So then it's nothing. So what they did not have any positive effect. Even though they knew the secrets, even though they knew how Hashem created the world, which spiritual powers were involved in which combinations. But those work because Hashem wanted it to work. Meaning we are here not to be sophisticated and independently be able to bring purpose to this world. The whole purpose of creation is to connect to Hashem. And how do we connect him? By the instructions he gives us. So being that they were not commanded, it was wrong. It was wrong with the best intentions. It was wrong. And it created something negative. Now, obviously, it's hard for us to relate assassin to somebody who has such good intentions, but something was missing. So tell him, plug in. Oh, it can't work because, right? You did not plug in, or you don't know how to plug in. And you can do only what Hashem commanded you. Right? But on their high level, obviously they should have not done it, right? And we'll soon explain a little later by the Shem Yishmuel, how did it happen? Right? One way to explain how did it happen. So after they committed the sin, to start with, Hashem wanted to annihilate them. The result of the prayers of Moshe and the tshuva that they did, it ended up by Hashem telling them, I will give you a way to bring the divine into this world. Build a Mishkan. But this time it will be by my instructions. And being that I am saying do it, it means that everything that will be made while building the Mishkan and every detail of the service that will be done in the Mishkan anytime will work. Why? Because I said so. Because I connected it to a mechanism that will bring godliness into this world. Now, the Jewish people understood the message very, very well and did the tshuva in a very profound way. And we can see it at the end of the Chumash of Shmuel, in Parashat Pekudei, which is the last portion of the Chumash. It still discusses the Mishkan. It's the part where the Jewish people brought everything to Moshe, and the Torah testifies that everything was done according to the instructions. So I want you to look at the parasha and see something very interesting in this parasha. Okay, so Parashat Pekudei starts on page 531. Okay, and in the beginning, the Torah says that they are bringing an account of what was brought and how it was used, right? And then the Torah tells us what did they do with it. So I'm going to the next page, 533, chapter 39. And now the Torah discusses what was done from the different materials that were brought. So let's take an example. From the turquoise, purple and scarlet wool, they made neat vestments to serve in the sanctuary, and they made the holy vestments for Aaron as Hashem had commanded Moses. So we are told from this particular material, this is what they did as Hashem commanded Moses. Second paragraph, he made the ephod of gold. How does the paragraph end? As Hashem had commanded Moses. The paragraph after, they made the shoham stones, so on and so on. Last sentence, as Hashem had commanded Moses. And so on, all through the parasha. In fact, it's 39 times as Hashem commanded Moses, including all 39 types of work that were made in order to build the Mishkan. So they learned the lesson. What's the power of everything that we do? The fact that Hashem commanded it. Because the whole purpose of the mitzvot is to connect to Hashem. So he made the mitzvot into connectors. That's how we build them. And that's why every detail of every mitzvah is so essential. Because it's like you have, as we took the example before, you created a computer, right? And let's say one detail was not done right. One wire was not wired properly. Will it work? It doesn't matter if all the rest is fine. But it's the totality that creates the connection, right? So what Hashem says is, when I gave you a mitzvah with all the details in it, it's because that's the way to wire, so to speak, the mechanism, so it will create a connection between me and you. What means, in other words, we have to know that every mitzvah to its smallest detail is the only way to connect to Hashem. When I perform it perfectly as the Torah commands me, that's when I connect to Hashem. And I cannot pick and choose. I cannot say, okay, I'll do 90%. So I build 90% of the computer. Will it work? It won't work, right? Because you have to wire it properly in order to make sure that it works based on how it was built, right? Now, our sages in the Midrash who discuss the building of the Mishkan say the following, and I want to read to you in English. In this parsha, the Midrash appears. And the Midrash says as follows, Na'e haya le'avoteinu lomar na'aseh v'nishma. It was nice of our forefathers to say na'aseh v'nishma. It's something praiseworthy. They said we'll do, and then we'll hear. And then the Midrash continues in a way that we wouldn't anticipate. Is it so that it was nice, and they had to say also these are your gods, Israel? That's bewildering. So what does the Midrash do? The Midrash discusses Na'aseh v'Nishma and the Golden Calf together. And the Midrash says, Na'aseh v'Nishma was nice. Not the Golden Calf. Is the Golden Calf nice? Bewildering. Why do we put the two together? One was the peak of achievement of the Jewish people, Na'aseh v'Nishma. Why do we compare it to the Golden Calf? So let's see what Na'aseh v'Nishma is. Connected to what we described and explained about the golden calf, and then we understand the Midrash. Okay. When Hashem came to give the Jewish people the Torah, what did they say first? Na'aseh, we'll do. Only then they said Nishma, we'll hear. That's bewildering. How could you do if you don't hear? What are the instructions? We say that's the peak of achievement, but can they do without hearing? If nobody tells you what to do, how could you do it? So, the Briskerov, the Beit HaLevi explains that the first word, Na'aseh, includes after hearing instructions. Because that's obvious. You cannot do unless you got instructions. So when they say we'll do, they say in other words, you'll tell us what to do and we'll do it. So what's the Nishma after? So he explains that the third thing, they accepted the Torah without understanding everything in it. On the premise that regardless if they understand or not, they'll do. In other words, they understood what we just explained. The power that we have by observing the Torah is because Hashem commanded us to do so. Because he created a connection between what's written in the Torah and his presence in this world and what will happen in this world. So regardless if I understand it or not, this is what I have to do. It's the same as if I'm getting a computer. I do not know how it operates. I know nothing about programming. But I get instructions how to operate it in order to achieve what a computer can achieve. I can use it, and I'll be very effective, and I'll get the results that I want, if I understand and if I don't understand. And if I don't understand fully, and I'll start to make changes, I'll ruin it. I'll ruin it, right? So what they said is the following. We accept the Torah based on the fact that Hashem gave it. And in order to do it, we don't need any explanations. Why do we want to hear after? Because there is a point in learning Torah, understanding reasons, because it makes the performance of mitzvot sweet. The more we learn about the Torah and about the mitzvot, the more we appreciate them. So there is room to learn, but it's not affecting. My level of understanding does not affect if I perform or not. First, the commitment to do. You'll tell us what to do, we'll do, period. Now, there is an obligation to learn too. So we learn. And being that we accepted already the doing, and independent of understanding, we have what to work with if we start learning and we think we can make some changes. Wait, wait, wait. What did you say? I'll do. Even if I don't understand, I don't depend the performance of mitzvot on my understanding. So I can learn, understand, and still continue to do it as if I don't understand anything, just because Hashem told me. And that's a combination that seems like contradicting each other, but that's the way we have to do. We have to perform mitzvot to the detail, the way Jewish law tells us. Because these are the instructions that connect, create the connection. Now I'm starting to learn, and something doesn't make sense to me. So I think maybe I'll do it a little differently. I missed the point. And the fact that I accepted to do without understanding can protect me from making changes. Because I separate between the two. There is no connection between my understanding and the decision if to do it or not to do it. I'll do it anyhow, as if I don't understand anything. Then I can also dwell into the understandings. Okay? So, by building the Mishkan to the detail, exactly as Hashem said, this was the tshuva that the Jewish people made. Following instructions, by the detail, without using the intellectual capability. While understanding, Bezalel knew what everything meant, but he followed to the detail exactly what he was told, and his knowledge did not affect at all what he was doing. Maybe it inspired him to do it full-heartedly, but in terms of the performance, following the instructions of Hashem, to the dot. Now, later on, when the Mishkan was built, one of the things that was built was the Ark, Aron HaKodesh, right? That was in the Holy of Holies. And as we know, in the Aron were the Luchot, the tablets, the Torah, right? The broken ones and the second set that was whole were them. And on top of the ark, there were two kerubim, two images that looked like a combination of the image of an angel and the face of a baby, right? Two kerubim that were on top of the Aron, facing each other. If you want to see an image of it, in Parashat Truma, the art scroll gives a picture. And while talking, I look for it and tell you where it is. Okay? So it's two images facing each other. It's on page 447. 447. So you see it's the Ark, the Aron. And on top of it, there are two kerubim. Yeah, page 447, facing each other. And we are told that these two kerubim symbolize the relationship between Hashem and the Jewish people. When the Jewish people did the will of Hashem, when we were on a high level, the kerubim faced each other. Obviously, facing each other indicates a connection, a relationship, right? When the Jewish people did not do the will of Hashem, they turned their face from each other, as to say, the relationship is not as it used to be, right? Now, it's told to us that the gold that the Jewish people gave for the kerubim that are on top of the kaporet is the cover of the ark, this gold was an atonement for the gold that the Jewish people gave when they built the golden calf. Now, it's very interesting. We know that the whole Mishkan was an atonement for the golden calf. Why do our sages single out these two curvings that are on top of the ark and say this is really the atonement for the golden calf? Because the two curvings that symbolize the relationship between Hashem and the Jewish people were placed on top of the ark where the Torah is to tell us the relationship with Hashem, the closeness of Hashem, the dwelling of the divine in the Beit HaMikdash, in this world, or in other words, the fulfillment of the purpose of creation depends on what? Depends on keeping the Torah that is in the Aron. If we face what's inside the ark and follow to the dot, unrelated to our intellect, then we really can create the right relationship with the divine and bring the presence of Hashem into this world. What is our purpose in life? Okay, so that's one lesson from the story of Chet HaEgel, right? As a result, the Jewish people did not do it at the time. What is explained also is a result of the fact that they left Egypt too early and were not yet ready to be on this high level. So we complete the job all along history, and eventually when Mashiach will come back to the level that they were at before the Golden Calf, the level of first man before the sin. There is one question that we raised that I did not address, that I want now to address and add the information according to the Shem Yishmael. He said, it seems that Hashem helped them to commit the sin by showing them or enabling the Satan to show the Moshe dead on a bed. And this created a panic that brought to what happened. Why would Hashem do it? We know as a rule, usually, Hashem helps us when we want to do something good. Here it seems not only didn't he help them, but he helps them to sin. That's not what Hashem does usually. How do we understand it? So the same Shem Yishmael explains something very beautiful. He says, we have three parts to us: a body, a nefesh, a soul, and an intellect. Three parts. The intellect, the nefesh, that is the place of the will, the place of choice, the place of character traits, right? And the body. And all of them have to serve Hashem, have to be sanctified and serve Hashem. He said at Mount Sinai, we subjugated ourselves to Hashem via our intellect, fully and completely, as we just explained. We said we'll do even when we don't understand. We'll do even if it's against our logic. We'll do before understanding, just because you said. And he said, it's the job of every one of us at all times to subjugate our intellect to Hashem, to understand that our intellect is very limited, and to understand that we don't even follow the intellect that we do have fully and completely. We commit even sins. And we have to feel that, right, we have to subjugate ourselves to HaKadosh Baruch. At Sinai, we did it. We said, we'll do, and then we'll hear. The intellect is not what decides for us what to do. It's Hashem who decides for us. And when a person is able to put his intellect aside in order to follow Hashem, Hashem opened up his intellect. And then he understands what he didn't understand before. So they grasp the knowledge of Torah as a result of this on a level that they were not able to before. It's when we subjugate ourselves and our intellect to Hashem that he opened up the gates of wisdom for us. And then we see and understand what is beyond even the capacity of a human being. What we see by great tzaddikim. They understand depths of Torah and secrets of creation, things that are basically above the comprehension of a human being. Then comes the nefesh, the heart, the soul. It has to be subjugated to Hashem too. So the Jewish people were put into a test in order to give them the opportunity to subjugate themselves to Hashem on the heart level. What happened at the Golden Calf? They got totally lost. Moshe is not here. They became depressed. What will be now? Lost, overwhelmed. And it was a test. On their level, what they had to say is, if Moshe is not here, it's the doing of Hashem. And if it's the doing of Hashem, he will show us a way how to survive. And even if it's a consequence of it, we will not be able to go further. That's the will of Hashem. He made it happen. So must be that this is the challenge that we have to face. But they were so overwhelmed, especially after seeing Moshe dead on a bed, that they did not have the strength to do it. So what was accomplished? If they would have passed the test, so we understand, they put aside their feelings. They overcame the depression. They overcame the feeling of being lost and relied on Hashem. Subjugated themselves fully to Hashem and said, Hashem, you did it. I accept. Whatever will be is okay. The same way that they did with their intellect when they said, Naaseh v'nishma. They had to say now about the way they feel. But they failed. So why did Hashem do it? He knew in advance that they will fail. So the Shem Shmuel explains so beautifully. Yes, they failed. But the process of tshuva that they did after was so deep and so genuine that by this they corrected it and achieved the ability to overcome any situation by relying on Hashem, by subjugating themselves to Hashem. And they gave this power to all of us till today. There are times that spiritually or physically we feel lost. What will be? Look today at the reality in this world. It seems like everything is shaky. We don't know what tomorrow will bring. The situation is so difficult. It seems like no hope, no future, depression. We have in us the strength from this generation to be able to say the world is run by Hashem. What I have to be careful about is what I can do. And to commit myself to do what I can do. And I can do A practically, Naaseh v'nishma. I listen to the Torah to the best of my ability as the Jewish people accepted upon themselves at Sinai. But I also will not let myself to be depressed. I will not lose hope. I know that Hashem is the one who runs the show. And he knows what he's doing. And this power came to us from the Jewish people who failed at the Golden Calf, but corrected it via their tshuva. And this tells me also that if I fail in the process, I shouldn't despair. Let's start again. And do tshuva. And tshuva can be something that we do all through our life and should do all through our life. And in this way, subjugate myself intellectually, subjugate my feelings, and the more I do it, the more Hashem gives us the strength to really be successful in. Because that's the rule. When we open up a small little opening, Hashem opens up a big opening for us. So intellectually, in terms of our intellect, we already have what it takes. We accomplished it. Of course, we still work on it all through our life, but as a nation, we achieved it at one point. In terms of our feelings, the soul, the nefesh, we achieved it. What remains is to totally sanctify the guf, the body. And this will be accomplished when Mashiach will come. And then we will be whole and the purpose of creation will be fulfilled and will be ready for the stage of getting reward for all that we accomplished. I'll stop here and open for questions and remarks.
Before we open for questions, this class is Le'ilu Nishmas, Me'ira Chaya Nechama Bracha, Bas David Mordechai. You should be able to unmute yourselves.
Too complex or very clear? I always wonder.
Wonderful.
Thank you. Okay.
So, beautiful. Thank you.
Sure. Let us all have a happy Purim for us, for all of the Jewish nation, and hopefully we'll be saved today as we were saved then.
Amen.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Sure.